Welcome to an all-new edition of SJHL Weekly on a Tuesday. I hope everybody had a great family day long weekend. We'll recap the weekend that was in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Get to this busy coming week. Of course, lots on the line when it comes to playoff implications. And we're also going to be joined by Flin Flon Bombers defenseman Noah Hull, who, of course, as of right now, is leading the league amongst defensemen in SJHL scoring right now. So we have to talk, before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's talk about our sponsors with the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Big thank you to UPL, our presenting sponsor, Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Automall, Chevrolet, Great Western Nutrient, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGU, SGI, thanks so much for your support. Without your support, these shows are not possible. Let's bring in our co-hosts. It's Jamie Neugebauer, it's Rory McCorn. Fellas, hope you had a great family day weekend. How was your weekends? Noobsy?
Yeah, no, it was good. Spent some time with the family, except for on Family Day, of course, because went with
well,
the
Hounds
to best event. But other than that, can't complain.
And you had a couple games too.
Yeah, fantastic. It's always a great tradition. I saw Estevan had a similar thing going, but it's free admission on Family Day in Humboldt, the matinee game, and then they had their player staff shootout skills competition following that. So there was just shy of 2,000 people in the building for the Broncos. They lost both games against the Clippers, so shout out to Kindersley for picking up two huge road wins. Yep. But overall, the weekend was great. Good long weekend with that statement on Family Day.
And we hope everybody had a great Family Day. But let's get into the scores from the weekend. Again, busy weekend. So let's go all the way back to Friday, the start of the weekend. Four games on tap. Nipawin with a big 5-1 win over Kindersley. Melville doubling up LaRange 4-2. Melfort getting by Estevan 6-4. And Flin Flon with the 5-3 win over Battleford. Then on Saturday, five games total. That's Monday. Weyburn 5-0 over Melville. Kindersley 4-3 over Humboldt. And Estevan 7-3 over Notre Dame. Of course, Saturday there was the five games. But lots to get into, of course, and all of our lookbacks this season presented by Sask Lotteries. All right, let's start with the Estevan Bruins. A busy, busy time and a busy stretch for them this past week. Two big wins over the weekend. Of course, the win over Yorkton on Saturday, the win over Notre Dame yesterday. I mean, Noobsy, you were there yesterday. What'd you see from the Bruins?
Yeah, very balanced attack, and that's what we've seen from the Estevan Bruins lately. They had eight different goal scorers in their last four games. So, you know, that's that balance. And I think we all thought they had a good roster to start the year, and obviously they picked up pieces as it's gone on. Look, you know, I could talk about the fact that the Hounds did not really show up on Monday, but that would be remiss of me because the Estevan Bruins were terrific over 60 minutes, and I think if Jason Tatarnik can get this type of an effort, this type of a completeness from the Bruins heading into the playoffs, we've talked about it a bunch, nobody will want to play them. Alex Papas-Perropoulos has been really huge, especially in light of the injury absence to Zach Burfoot, who is a huge loss. Obviously, a big piece of that Keegan Little and Ilya Chmielewski line, which has been unplayable at times. Man, Keegan Little is such a treat to watch. One of the underrated players in the league, his edges, his power on the puck. He is really, really good and does it all, obviously, in three zones. Gabriel Filion has really stepped up as well. Four goals in his last four games as well for the Estevan Bruins, one of the fastest guys in the league, if not the fastest. And the last thing I'll say about this game here is if Spencer Borsos wasn't elite for Notre Dame in net, the Bruins could have hit double digits. They were that good. The Hounds were that poor. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But the Bruins got to be happy. 4 points, won the right game. Yes, they lost to Melfort, but they beat Yorkton. Got to beat Yorkton if you're Estevan. Mm-hmm. They did what they needed to do. And again, the process for the Estevan Bruins is in good shape. Jason Tatarnik's got to be happy.
Yeah, Estevan could finish right now anywhere from fifth to eighth, and I think all the top four teams are looking at where Estevan may lie and hope that they're not in the corresponding top four to go up against them. I think every team's looking at Estevan knowing what they are on paper, knowing that everyone thought they and still think that they're a top four team. They've just been inconsistent. A little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde, as you mentioned, off show, right? You look at all three of their periods, they don't have a positive goal for ratio in any period. They're even in the first period, 50 goals for, 50 goals against, but yet it's a team that I think everyone knows can get out of the first round.
Right.
You look at last year in the playoffs, they were one wild bounce off of a boards away from beating Flin Flon and taking them out in game seven. So I really like what Estevan's doing. They're stronger at home now down the stretch run which is going to be a daunting place to go into for games three and four for any of those top teams. And then one more thing, because you talk about Keegan Little, and I wanted to as well. Yeah. I love everything about his game. Fair comp, when you think of what Little does, captain of the team, power play, penalty kill, all three zones, face-offs, Ben Tkachuk from last year. Yeah. Are they not identical type players?
Pretty,
200 feet of service in any zone, they're exceptional.
And somebody asked me recently, you know, who's the most important player to their team? I think probably the answer to that is Logan Linklater. The Clippers with and without him.
Sure, yeah.
But I think Keegan Little's probably number two to this Estevan Bruins team. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of face-offs. I think Ilya Chmielewski has a higher face-off percentage on the year.
Yeah.
But Keegan Little takes all the big ones for Estevan, and fair enough. So great great call, Rory. He Tkachuk, and that's a huge compliment.
Mr. Complete, you called him.
Huge praise, and Keegan's really deserved it.
And Little and Chmielewski have been outstanding since the SJMJ showcase, where they put up a lot of points at the showcase as well. We talked about, obviously, Estevan get 5 out of 8 points this week. It's interesting when you look at the standings, and guys, maybe we can pull up the standings right now. But the teams that are from 5 to 8 in the SJHL standings going into the start, or I guess today is technically the start of this week. But Melville, Kindersley, Estevan, Weyburn, they all had excellent weeks this past week. And our next topic, or our next team we're going to focus on, is the Weyburn Red Wings. They got 5 out of 6 points this past week. Of course, they earned a 5-0 win over the Melville Millionaires yesterday, their division rivals. And we talk about that cushion, and they got a little bit of it now with 10 games to go. But they're playing some good, better hockey now, and they get 5 out of a possible 6 points. Mm-hmm. And they keep pace with those teams that are 5, 6, 7, because I'm sure Weyburn would like to maybe catch up, because they do have some games in hand.
I was just saying, you want to get out of 8 as well. We're talking about the top 4 looking at Estevan.
Absolutely.
Right? Weyburn has now, I mean, the cushion is what matters first and foremost.
Absolutely.
Make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they're 4 points up on Nipwin, right? Yorkton and Nipwin are looking at those teams that all won this week and are like, darn, right?
You probably couldn't have asked for a worse weekend for Nipwin and York.
And Nipwin won.
Arguably.
And Nipwin won,
and Nipwin won on Friday.
They needed to. That was.
But last year, the Weyburn Red Wings, they were the best team in the last 3 weeks to get into the playoffs from 11th to 8th.
That's right.
They've now scored the first goal in 3 straight games. They have points in all 3 of those games.
Yeah.
Right? So they find, you know, scoring the first goal helps. It goes a long way. They just didn't do it very often. It was 12 times prior to those 3 games, the least in the SJHL. So now you're putting yourself into a position where, hey, do you want to go up against Flin Flon? Last year you got Battlefords, you know, a dominating team in the first round. You won one game, lost the next 4. If you're an 8th, you're going up against the Flin Flon Bombers. So Weyburn's in a position now at least where they can chase 7th down, try to chase 6th down, only 4 points between. So a huge week for the Wings, really impressed. And yeah, it just goes with, you know, getting the right starts, getting off the right footing, you know, putting teams in a position where they have to play from behind, where now they're uncomfortable. Don't let them get out on you early. And obviously it's leading to success with 5 points out of a possible 6.
Yeah, and a couple things about Weyburn for me is, one is the health of Dazza Mitchell. When he's healthy again, this Weyburn Red Wings team is a different animal completely. No disrespect to Angelo Zoll, because he's been good at times.
Yeah.
But, you know, a shout out here for Dazza, and we saw him at the Game of the Month. Boy, was he good to do that Game of the Month in January against Estevan. When he is healthy and in his right mind, he's as good as anybody in the league. I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. And the second thing is Cody Mapes goes away from the Maharaj Mickeljohn Ruthven combination, and it seems like inevitably, eventually, Weyburn has a little bit of a struggle, and then they go back to that combination, and they're, you know, lo and behold, they have a good weekend again.
Right.
This is a couple games in a row. Could have gone either way against Melfort at home. They did get to that to the shootout, which, you know, by the way, Weyburn loves one-goal games, it seems, because they're always in one-goal games. But could have gone another way. Got a point against a resurgent Melfort team that was struggling, needed some points big time, did the Melfort Mustangs. We could talk about them a bit later. But the Wings found a way to get a point, and then big two against Melville there, albeit, you know, obviously the day game there, like the family day game, I'm sure Doug Johnson would say maybe, you know, tough, but... That being said, third career shutout for Dazza, and happy to see him back and healthy.
Yeah, and I mean, on the flip side of that, we could talk about the team that Weyburn beat yesterday, the Melville Millionaires. Aside from that game, they had a perfect week. They shut out the Nipawin Hawks. They get two home wins over the LaRonde Ice Wolves, and maybe they ran out of gas a little bit going into the Monday game. I mean, it was their fourth game in 7 days, but still, you go 3-1 in a week where you play four games. I know Doug's going to say, because last week he said, if you're not you perfect, you don't know coaches. Okay. I mean, 3-1 is still very good, especially at this point in the season when you're battling for position.
It's good. They played on the 14th, they played on the 16th, they played on the 17th, and then they played a day game on the 19th.
Like,
that's a lot of hockey,
and
right?
Especially the way Doug plays.
Exactly. So Weyburn just kind of took advantage of him on the end of that really, really busy stretch.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you go up against the Nipawin Hawks, you shut them out in Nipawin, right? Mm-hmm. Doug against his former team, that one's got to feel good. Then you go up against the LaRonde Ice Wolves, a team that was on four games in 5 days. The Southern Swing needed to win, and you pretty much take the playoff hopes away from the LaRonde Ice Wolves.
Yep.
Those are hard games to win.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and then, you know, the 160th minute of hockey in the fifth day.
Yeah.
It was just too much for Melville. But, you know, when you look at back at the standings, you don't have to put it back up, but the top team among the second four, as we call them, really kind of control their destiny right now. I think they're less concerned about Nipawin and Yorkton and more concerned about staying in that 4-5 mix to try and get maybe a Humboldt and a Melfort rather than a Flin Flon and a Battleford, which I think many would agree are the two tougher opponents right now going into the playoffs. They're all going to be hard, but Melville can control their destiny and kind of finish in that 5th-6 just with their play as of late.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Melville when they played Flin Flon, and I thought that was such an even game, even with Flin Flon at the start of the road trip, all the energy in the world, Flin Flon, and that was a very even game that could have gone either way. We've talked about the way Doug has his team playing.
Absolutely.
They're totally bought in. Jaden Nyogen is on fire like Beedall he hasn't been all year. Luke Beadall has been on fire. 11 of 17 goals now on the year for Nyogen, either shorthanded or power play. Nyogen, second most shorthanded goals in the league, by the way, behind Justin Lees. And he's got 5 of Melville's 9 shorthanded goals, Jaden Nyogen. What an impressive guy. And again, only an 05.
Yeah.
So much talent for him. Again, tough for road teams on the day game there. You talked about how much hockey the Mills had to play lately. But, you know, nothing's good enough for Doug, but I'm sure he's still going to be saying, hey, can't go into Weyburn and get beaten 5-0, but still, you know, Melville's in a good spot.
Well, and especially against your division rivals, too.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe probably the side of it that you would hope for a bit of a better effort. But like Rory mentioned, they kind of control their own destiny because right now, when you look at the standings, and again, you guys don't have to pull it back up, but with 10 games to go, they've still played the least amount of games. A bunch of teams still have 10 games remaining, but they currently sit in 5th, and obviously when we talked to Doug last week, their goal is 5th place. They want to finish as high as possible, and right now, the Melville Millionaires currently sit in the best spot to do that. I will say, just to put a little bow on Melville, tough week this week. They're in Melford on Friday and home to Battleford's on Saturday. Both could be matchups.
I keep looking at the 10 remaining games for all teams, right? And I'm like, who has the easy schedule? Like, no one.
No one has
the easy schedule. It doesn't seem that anyone does, right? I'm like, no, they're tough.
Well,
that's a tough
to
one, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no one's got an easy final, but we can now say that 10 games is the most remaining.
Fun.
Everyone has 10 games or less in the regular season, which is exciting.
It's very exciting, for sure. So that was the week for the Melville Millionaires. Let's talk about that final team in that mix who... The Kindersley Clippers, they suffer that 5-1 loss to the Nipawin Hawks. We talked about it last week, about that pivotal 2-week stretch coming up for them. A very difficult stretch. Nipawin on the road, 2 games in Humboldt on the road, and then coming up, they have 2 games against Flin Flon at home. But they bounce back after a tough 5-1 loss in Nipawin, and they get 2 victories on the road at the EPA. I mean, Rory, you were there. Tell us, what did you see from the Clippers?
I saw Kindersley doing a lot of the little things right? Were they the better team through the majority of 60 minutes on both nights? They were not.
Sure.
They were outshot handedly in both games. Humble put 100 pucks towards Cody Jamin, but, you know, your goaltender was spectacular.
Right.
Your power play was cooking. Your big dogs were your big dogs. You were blocking shots in the defensive zone. You really didn't get hemmed in a lot, which Humboldt likes to do to wear you down. They had a lot of shots, but Kindersley was really good to break the puck out more often than not. But it's those little things that allowed them to be in the game throughout 60 minutes, get a late power play in both games, and win the game.
Yeah.
And before the Humboldt game on Saturday, they only had 4 wins on the road. This was the biggest discrepancy in the SJHL between how they play at home versus how they play on the road.
Right.
And we know that they just had a 6-game homestand that they absolutely took advantage of. So they go on the road, and this is a tough place to win. As we mentioned, 1,800 people there on Monday, a huge crowd trying to spur the Broncos along. And Kindersley, they don't steal 3 points, 2 points. They take all 4 points and don't give Humboldt any. So yeah. Just finding a way to win and doing the little things right is why Kindersley won those games. Humboldt, I think, probably feels a bit like they maybe deserve better fortune, but when you run into a guy like Cody Jamin playing like he, your penalty kill can't stop a power play, and it can bounce that way, and it did. Yeah. Kindersley, 4 points. It was great.
Yeah, and I mean, you go into a trade deadline, and you say to yourself, you know what we would really like? We'd like a big minute-munching top pair elite D-man, 20-year-old. How do you do that? Like, how do you find that guy? And it's so hard, so hard. And I said on the show, I'm a little worried about Kindersley, and that was like a month ago or something like that before the showcase. And I said to Jardine, Clayton Jardine, yesterday, I think it was yesterday after the win there against Humboldt, I said, Jards, like I said, I was worried about you guys on the show. What do I know? He said, you said that before we got Simon Diaz. And I said, okay, well, you're giving me some credit there. I appreciate that.
Diaz and Mueller,
but
man.
Simon
both of them.
Diaz and Brock Mueller have both been terrific additions. I especially love a D-man that comes in, plays good minutes, plays heavy, breaks out the puck. Diaz knows when to break it out with by himself with his feet, because his feet are really, really good, top-notch in this league. And he knows when to make a quick first pass as well.
Yeah.
He's got all the full package in terms of the simple game. He's 27 minutes or so a night for the Clippers on the back end. You throw DeGraves with him. You have a veteran top pairing for Kindersley to really take some of that pressure off the Dennises and the Oshovies of the world. And I think that puts them in a good spot to succeed, too. It's really, you know, everybody talks about the Linklaters and the Hillbigs, and fair enough. But really, it's about the back end for Kindersley. And they've really stepped up. And having a guy like Diaz that you can slot in the top, I think that's enormous. And also committed, which I will talk about it.
I was going to say, I was going to tease that.
Little tease.
Well, I mean, some people will say, it's just two players. How can they make that big of a difference, right?
It's massive.
When your defenseman's playing 27 minutes, you mentioned it, it takes 27 minutes away from, you know, Russ Demo, Jacob Dennis, Austin Oshovy. Those guys are great defensemen, but they're rookies.
Absolutely.
It's about experience. And Diaz is logging 27 minutes a game. That's 27 minutes less for rookie defensemen, right, that just are maybe more prone to making the odd mistake.
Yeah.
And then you look at Kindersley up front. Were they a one-trick pony? Really dominated offensively by one line?
Yeah.
They were. Mueller comes in, pairs with Easton Ingles, and now it just gives them that second wave of attack. So, yes, two players can make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And they certainly have with Diaz and Mueller.
Yeah. Yeah. It's balanced out their lineup for
100%.
Sure with their trades. And, I mean, we were talking about it the first half of the season. It seemed like that was the one piece that they were really missing. I think we talked about it last week about Simon Diaz and the we were talking about the trade deadline acquisitions of – has there been anybody more valuable and a bigger addition since the trade deadline?
It's the best trade. It's the best trade all year to me, Keenan Ingram for Simon Diaz.
Yep.
That's the best for me.
At least it's right now it's paying dividends.
Both on the power play, too. I think Kindersley's power play is under, like, you look at it at 20%,
it's been good
good.
Yeah.
It may be in sixth place in the SJHL right now. It is not a sixth place power play.
No.
They've just gone on waves where it hasn't scored, but when that thing is on,
when it's humming.
I love it. Linklater leading it now. Diaz on the point. They put Mueller right smack dab in front of your goaltender. It's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. It's good.
And
it's really good.
Yeah, and there's been a couple times this year that they've had three or four power play goals in one night. Now we alluded to how good Cody Jamin was. Well, Cody Jamin is where we'll go for the Tourism Saskatchewan highlight of the week.
Just like that already. 30 seconds gone. Here comes the captain into it. Drop pass to Bryson. Bryson, backdoor. Bell shoots and stopped by Jamin. Spencer Bell couldn't believe it.
To be honest, he was great.
And that's on the hottest shooter in the league, pretty much.
Exactly. And the thing is with Cody Jamin, if he's going to play like that, and if he continues to play like that, especially as the Clippers kind of move into potentially getting into a playoff spot, you know, they could be some problems in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, anything starts with a goalie, upset.
Yep.
You never find an upset where it's like, well, the goaltender wasn't great, but they still upset him. It doesn't happen.
No.
You need to start with your goaltender to create the upset, and they got Cody Jamin in there.
For sure. All right, finally, let's talk a little bit about, obviously, we alluded to the four teams, obviously, battling from 5-8, but we got to talk about the kind of the top two teams going head-to-head at the Whitney Forum in two very entertaining games. That Saturday game was wild, and, of course, we'll talk to our guest, Noah Hull, about it coming up
in a bit. But Flin Flon and Balfour's this weekend, crazy. It was just as advertised. Both teams earn a victory. Both games were wild.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you kind of just expect. I mean, the season series between these two clubs has been outstanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of fun, a lot more goals flying in this time than the other series in Battleford's. Could this be the finals again? I think it absolutely could be. I actually texted Kyle McIntyre. I was like, this could be the finals again, and it wouldn't surprise me, you know, one little bit. 24 goals combined in the two games, I'm sure. You know, it was advertised. I'm sure Braden Klamosko and Mike Reagan are saying, man, we cannot give up that type of scoring opportunities. I also did some deeper dives. There were 52 good scoring chances combined over the two games. You talk about two elite teams. Usually they don't give up 52 scoring chances combined over two games.
What's an average in like one game? Maybe like seven for a team?
Yeah, seven to 12? Between 7 to 12, 14, sure. Depending on how good you do. Yeah. But like 20, what I got here. I got, it was a lot. 28 to 24 for Battleford's.
That's
awesome. So it was, the home plate chances. It was a chance fest. And actually, in that second game, Logan Cunningham had to be huge in the second half for Battleford's to find a way to win that game. And then Kenny Marquardt kind of gave up one that was kind of uncharacteristic of Kenny Marquardt. Kind of had a game that was kind of uncharacteristic of Kenny Marquardt, I think, overall in that second one. 16 power plays in game one, only one goal scored. So there was a lot of things that were kind of off the charts. Crazy bounce to Alexi Silvestri that made the game-winning goal as well in the third in the first game. Wild. What more can we say, though, about Ben Portner?
These
boys, 12-game point streak, the longest in the league right now after Spencer Bell had his snapped. 29 points over that streak. It was electric. It was entertaining. It was not for the faint of heart. It was a lot of fun to watch. If this is the finals, sign me up. I'm sure both Mike Reagan and Braden Klamosko are hard on the video saying, how can we be better defensively than they were in this one? But certainly for the neutral fellas, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to score 8 goals very often against the Flin Flon Bombers.
No.
So they're obviously...
Not in the Whitney either.
No, not at the Whitney. But what the win does for the Battleford's North Stars is now give them the belief they can beat the Flin Flon Bombers and they can beat them on the road, which if this is a final series, you're going to have to go and do at least once, even if you clean up all 4 of your own home games for the Battleford's North Stars to try and be repeat champions, if this is the final. Of course, there's going to be 6 other teams trying to prevent this from being the final, and it's very, very possible. Wild things can happen in the playoffs. Both these teams are beatable. No one's invincible in this league. But let's say if you run it through the final 10 games and then into the first couple of rounds of the playoffs 100 times, I would say that these two teams would probably meet in the finals 65 to 70 of those times. That's just where we're trending on with these two teams and their trajectory and what they've done so far throughout this season. But the big win for the North Stars is the belief. Yes, Flin Flon's won 3 out of the 4 games, but you can't discredit how important it is to get a win in a building where you may expect to go to play in the playoffs. And with the final one, the last taste to remember it, I'd say it's huge for the North Stars picking up that 8-6 win.
And interesting stat, the year that the Bruins were dominant, obviously one that went to the Centennial Cup when they hosted it and won the league in Game 7, they had 15 shorthanded goals all year. And we all said, what a dangerous shorthanded team they are scoring shorthanded goals at will that year. Well, how many shorthanded goals do the Flin Flon Bombers have right now?
15.
15. Yeah. And they have a bunch of games left. So they are just crazy, dangerous, shorthanded. They're dangerous all the time. They're the Flin Flon Bombers.
Yeah.
But pretty interesting stuff. A great, great series. Really entertaining. Really enjoyed it.
For sure. And I just, my final point, I guess, would be no matter what, with the way the Flin Flon Bombers have been, obviously, this year and where they're going to finish in the SJHL standings, is if you're going to knock them off in the playoffs, somebody's going to have to beat them in the Whitney for them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something that they haven't had in the last 6 years where they've lost 4 times in the league final. What's one thing that they haven't had in all 4 of those series?
Home ice advantage.
Home ice advantage.
That's right.
So it makes a big, big
difference.
Earned it. They have
earned it.
That's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. It was a wild weekend in the SJHL, and that's kind of how we recap it. And, of course, before we go to break, as always, it is now time. You already teased it. It's time for Nukes and Notes. So, Nukesy, take it away.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much, Nukes and Notes. Hope you all enjoyed Family Day, by the way. Spent some time with your family. Said you love them. Always very important. The sponsor is Sask Lotteries. Obviously involved with lotteries in Saskatchewan. The sale of lottery products benefit more than 12,000 sport culture and recreation groups across the province. So it's very kind of a sports-oriented thing. And in fact, Sask Sport runs Sask Lotteries ever since 1974. The Sask Lotteries Trust Fund is distributed to groups all over the province as designated by the government. So it's obviously Crown Corp, as you can tell from the Sask Lotteries title. But it's definitely not really about profits. It's definitely about investing in the communities and in the sports, and have been a great sponsor of the SJHL for a very long time. So we really appreciate Sask Lotteries. All right, the U16s, they had their camp in Balgonie. Lots of SJHL draft picks were at the WHL Cup this past year, obviously in October. Brett Pilkington, the head coach and GM of the Notre Dame Hounds, is the head coach of Team Saskatchewan U16. Next year for the WHL Cup, which will be in October of 2024, probably in Alberta again, though we don't really know. Mitch Topinka, of course, the former assistant coach of the Kindersley Clippers. He's another coach at Notre Dame right now, actually. He's assisting him, as is Kyle Schneider, who's an assistant coach with L'Orange, of course, and he's going to be the video coach there for the Team Sask U16s. They just, topped 80 program there in Balgonie. It was great. I know Trevor Sabo from Nipawin was there. I think Gibby was paying attention, the Kindersley assistant GM. So I'm sure lots of people were paying close attention, lots of dub scouts, obviously, too, watching some of the best 09s. Boy, oh, boy, are we getting old. 09s. There are some top 09s in this province, by the way, let me tell you. Got a commitment to announce, obviously. Mentioned that there's Simon Diaz to Aurora University in Illinois. A well-deserved D3 commitment for Simon Diaz.
Absolutely.
Acquired at the deadline from Fort McMurray in the AJ. He's been awesome, awesome, awesome. So congratulations to Simon Diaz. And then last thing is Sask Finest last week. I really enjoyed it. Willie Mason was the assistant coach of the Weyburn Red Wings last week. So you can find that on the SJHL website. Saskatchewan's Finest. Willie Mason was 5'7", boys. He had a gazillion PIMs in the SJ at 5'7" in the 90s. And I'm like, he's just a nail gun. And obviously his boy was a great player for the Weyburn Red Wings last couple of years and won the gold medal at the World Junior A Challenge. So there you go, Willie Mason and Sask Finest. Got another one coming out on Wednesday, which you want to find on the week or during this week coming up here. And
That's tomorrow.
And that is Nugs and Notes.
Do you want to tease what you have coming up tomorrow?
It was Family Day weekend, so it's sort of family related.
Ooh, okay. That's a good tease. I like
there's
it.
The hint.
Some like brothers in the league, maybe something like that.
There's a few sets of brothers
sets
in the league.
Brothers.
There's a bunch of brothers.
I guess we'll find out tomorrow on SJHL.ca with Sask Finest. There you have it. After the break, we'll be joined by Flin Flon Bombers defenseman Noah Hull. We'll get his thoughts on the season and much, much more. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
It's the 2023 model clearout at Capital GMC. Drum roll, please. 0% financing is back. For a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on select new 2023 GMC Sierras. CapitalGMC.ca.
Connecting with customers can be tough, but it doesn't have to be. At Direct West, we have the marketing tools and expertise to help introduce your business to the masses and help it grow. Connect with more customers. Direct West.
As a student, things can pile up fast.
Ouch. But the RBC Student Banking Bundle makes back to school easier with up to $275 in value. That's a whole pile of takeout.
Enjoying what's around you. That's what it's all about. Farm to table, in season, locally foraged, look out the window and that's exactly what you'll see on your plate. It's the kind of experience that you'll compare everything else to for years to come. And it's so close, you can almost taste it. Indulge in our unlimited lakes and parkland. Saskatchewan.
Today, online bullying is more common than ever, but there is help. SaskTel wants to solve this problem. It's why they created Be Kind Online. If you're a victim of online bullying or know someone who is, or even if you just want to stop it from happening to anyone, this is a place to learn what you can do. You can find lots of tools and tips to help you stand up to cyberbullying. Be Kind Online is a place to learn how to stay safe as well, to learn best practices and plans to stop cyberbullying before it even has a chance.
Original 16. Celebrate things done well.
Sask Energy Network members are the best choice for natural gas solutions for your home or business. With comprehensive services like heating equipment maintenance, appliance installation, and in-store financing, they have natural gas solutions that go beyond heating to bring you the comfort, efficiency, and reliability of natural gas, both indoors and outdoors, all year long. For whole home natural gas solutions, network members burn brighter.
Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. It is Noogsy, Rory, Jeremy. We appreciate you tuning in on this special edition of SJHL Weekly on a Tuesday because of the family day long weekend. But we're going to go to the video chat where we're pleased to be joined by Flin Flon Bombers defenseman Noah Hull. Noah, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. How's it going?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's going good.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours. I have to ask, first and foremost, we'll start with a nice, easy question. Obviously, two big games at the Whitney Forum against the Battleford's North Stars, the team you guys played in the finals last year. Obviously, you guys are in the split, but what was it like playing in those games, and what did you think of your team's performance?
Yeah, you know, it was really exciting for that weekend. A lot of fans, my parents came from Montreal to watch, so it was really good. You know, it didn't really go like we wanted. I don't think we played really like we normally should play. I think we're struggling right now to play like a full 60. I mean, of course we got that first win, so that was good, and we dropped that second one, so I think there's definitely room for improvement, but it wasn't bad overall. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, Noah, thank you so much for your time. I just want to take a quick step back from this year, just briefly. Obviously, your big brother, a Flin Flon Bomber as well. Plenty of French Canadians playing on the Bombers with Mike's connections. Just talk about, you know, how you know, obvious it was for you to come to Flin Flon when that came about, and I guess what the Hull roots in Flin Flon are. Do you have a third brother, by the way, that's gonna terrorize the league too, or what?
Yeah. Actually, I have a third brother. Yeah, he's 12 years old.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he's playing Pee Wee. So yeah, maybe one day he's gonna play for Flin Flon.
There you go. But did you know like Xavier Lapointe too, or Alexi Silvestri, yeah, some of those guys as well?
Yeah. I knew all of them. So yeah, it's cool for sure.
What's it kind of been like now that you look at it full circle? You know, you grew up in Quebec, right? You played your hockey there. You played in the CCHL. Of course, you come over to the Flin Flon Bombers. Now as a 20-year-old, wrapping it up with Flin Flon, top team in the league. You know, the Whitney Forum, yeah, the zoo, like just kind of looking back at it, you must think it's a pretty cool place to kind of finish your junior A career.
Oh, for sure. You know, it's so like historical. There's so many memories there and so many big names that played here. So it's definitely really different than Montreal, just Saskatchewan. The fans are crazy here. They love it. It's really a great place. I don't regret my choice to come here So, yeah.
Obviously, you experienced the playoffs last year and the finals last year and how crazy it gets in there. Do you still, you know, walk out of the Flin Flon Bombers dressing room and, you know, get a little scared or a little nervous because, like, that crowd is right on top of you and they're passionate?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I'm really looking forward for this year. I think the town's got big expectation for us and stuff like that. So it's good pressure for sure. So I think it'll be really good.
For sure. I have to ask, to build off that question, I would love to know, what do you tell your friends back home in Montreal about playing in Flin Flon, playing at the Whitney Forum? Because they're probably wondering, some of your friends might not even know where Flin Flon is on the map.
Oh, no, for sure. Like, when I first told my buddies I was coming here, they're like, where are you going? Like, I had to repeat the name a few
times. Oh, no.
Oh, too bad.
It's great out here. I tell them that it's like you're a superstar. You just walk around town and everyone knows who you are and stuff like that. It's really nice.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously you guys have had a great year, losses very few far in between. So you talk about, you know, Mike Reagan maybe trying to get, you know, messages to you guys to play 60 minutes and whatnot. You know, what's that challenge like? You think, I mean, I guess I'm not going to ask you to say, like, from Mike's perspective, but, like, from your player's perspective, you're still winning, you're still beating teams, you're still, you know, scoring a lot of goals. You know, is it sometimes a challenge to say, you know, hey, we still need to find ways to get better even though the wins are still coming? Like, you understand the question?
Yeah, no, I do. You know, we try to always find a way to motivate ourselves to like a new challenge every game. And yeah, it's hard, like, because every team wants to beat us, obviously, because we're at the top. And no, it's hard. And I think we're struggling right now to find ways to motivate ourselves and to stay in the game all the time. And I think that's why we're kind of dropping some games. But I think we'll find a way for sure to make it happen.
You know, motivation is obviously key to kind of getting you guys through the final 10 games. I'm sure you want it to be playoffs tomorrow, right, with the season that you guys have had. Yeah. But X's and O's, is there some things that you still think need to come together a little bit in these 10 games prior to the playoffs in order to generate that 60 minutes, motivation aside?
Yes, for sure. I think we need to stay out of the box. That's really a big point. Also, just play more simple. Sometimes you try to be too flashy, try to make nice plays. I think if we keep it simple, I don't think teams are going to be able to hang with us. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I also got to ask you, you know, you talk about this team trying to find ways to improve. And at the trade deadline, you know, Mike Reagan went out and got a couple, you know, got that 05 D-man Ryan from the AJ and got Anthony Bax from Dauphin there. I guess just talk about what you've seen from those two guys specifically to kind of augment this D-core that obviously already had plenty of experience and talent, but to kind of take a little bit, I don't know if pressure on you is the right word, but just to add some more elements.
Yeah. Well, no, honestly, it's great to have them. They're really good players. And honestly, I feel like it kind of pushes us, or the other D-men, to be better and to be better every night. Because you know that if you don't perform, if you don't do your job, someone can take it any day. So I think it's motivation, honestly, again. And yeah.
Just talking about yourself and your, you know, your personal game, if you, you know, want to pat yourself on the shoulder or something, but I'm not sure if you know, your 60 points are actually the second most by a defenseman in the SJHL over the last, like, 18 years, pretty much. Only one player, Josh McDougal, in 2017 had more than 60 points. So you've really put yourself into a position where you're one of the best defensemen the SJ has seen over the last few handfuls of years, which is impressive. Did you expect that this is the season you could have before it started? And what's kind of been the biggest proponent towards it?
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. I wasn't expecting that at all. When you look at when I first came last year, it definitely wasn't the same. But honestly, I think the biggest thing is the team, my teammates, you know, I've got such a good team with me, and I don't know, like our power play is just clicking all the time. And I just, my teammates are really helping me to rack them up. So, yeah.
Yeah, you got a lot of weapons for sure to give that puck to, no question about it. Speaking of getting some help, you know, obviously I talked about your brother, Donnie, who's obviously up at the University of Maine and doing great things, and it seems like it's a great atmosphere up in Maine. And obviously, you know, you've committed to Lindenwood University, where there's some familiar faces there for you too as well. You know, just talk about, you know, what kind of advice maybe Donnie's given you, and also maybe like sort of as a point B, like what, you know, why Lindenwood, and just how much of a burden it was kind of as a 20-year-old off your shoulder, kind of having that D1 commitment in your back pocket.
Yeah, for sure. So from Donnie's perspective, he's kind of telling me to, you know, live in the moment, enjoy everything, because he truly misses being in Flin Flon. And yeah, just because he tells me how much there's a big step from junior to D1. So just give your all, and really like the little details matter. And for Lindenwood, I mean, it's a new program, obviously. So I just kind of have a good opportunity there next year. So I'm going to go there and hopefully be a good part of the team and can help the team, you know, build the program and be good in a few years.
There are tons of SJ players.
A lot of SJ players. I sometimes call it SJU, Noah, because like it seems like it's where like a lot of kids go, including my good buddy Elliot Dutille, who you may or may not know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I know him.
All right, Noah, it's time for rapid fire here. I got about 5 quick questions. Just throw them back to me quick, and let's have some fun. Are you ready?
Yeah, ready.
We were kind of joking before the interview started that even myself, I love to go to Flin Flon to call hockey, to watch hockey, but I still can't drive around Flin Flon without a GPS. I have no idea where I'm going. How long did it take you, after you moved to Flin Flon, to be able to get where you need to go without having your GPS on?
It's funny you say that, because yesterday we went ice fishing with the boys and I still didn't know where I was going.
We've been there like every year in the finals, and we're just like, we don't know where we're going.
It's the same trip, hotel to rink, and I still don't know. Okay, yeah, so game one of the SJHL finals, right? If you guys make it, obviously, it'll be in Flin Flon. How the heck do you calm your nerves down walking out for SJHL finals in Flin Flon? Because we've broadcasted it before, and it's tough for even us to calm our nerves down.
Yeah, I don't know. Just try to take some deep breaths and say enjoy the moment.
So the Humble Broncos, they just did their skills competition and shootout kind of Calcutta after the game yesterday on Monday. So we actually did this earlier in a prior show, picked players in the SJHL who would kind of win these competitions. I just want to focus in specifically Flin Flon, since you've been there the whole year, you know these guys a lot more. Hardest shot, who's winning it?
Probably Justin Lees.
Accuracy shootout, who's winning it?
After a shootout?
Accuracy, yeah, hit the 4 targets.
Oh, accuracy. Probably Carter Anderson.
Okay, how about the fastest skater?
Carter Anderson.
And how about the shootout? If you guys, the Calcutta shootout, who's coming on top of that?
Jacob Vaukler.
Vaukler, there you go.
Ooh, there you go. I kind of said that Carter might win every award was like the big thing, but anyway.
Well, I guess I'm done with rapid fire, but Noogsy says every time we have a Flin Flon Bomber guest on, we have to get him to do one thing if he wants to.
No, and you you have to do it. No, you have to do this. Look, he's iconic. Some of us think he's the best. You have to. I know on the bus you guys lots of time with Rob Hart.
Yeah, he knows where this is
going.
You knew
it was coming.
He knows where it's going.
I'm sure you've got a good one. You got to give us just a little bit of Rob Hart. I don't like Rory giving you the option. You have to do it. Give us a little bit, Noah. Come on.
I don't know, honestly.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay.
That's fine. We do it all the time. I'll be honest.
We just do it not on a TV show. But Noah, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on the season so far with the Flin Flon Bombers, and obviously continued success the rest of the way and into the postseason.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's Flin Flon Bombers defenseman Noah Hoole, who, of course, yesterday, which we're going to get into it just right now, is Players of the Week. He's won a lot of awards this year, and, of course, like Noogsy mentioned, committed to Lindenwood for next season. He's had a superb season, and he's already at 60 points going into...
I think we might be not buying the season that he's been having on how great it's been. He's got 10 games left. Yeah. And he's already the most points in the last 18 years outside of one player, Josh McDougall, who had 74 points. Boy, he could even pass that with 10 games left. I don't put it past him.
Yeah, Josh McDougall was really good. Yeah. Went to Mercyhurst, obviously.
That's the kind of season Noah Hoole's having right now. Yeah. Of course, the Flin Flon Bombers, they're dominant. They got a lot of talent. He's going to be a beneficiary of that, but he's having a special year. 100%.
And I think what you say, Tannen Ewert had what, 54 last year?
54, led the league, yeah.
There you go, and he's already passed it by 6 points. Yeah. We're going to get into Players of the Week right away. We have to have a bit of a shortened episode of SJHL Weekly this week. That's because one of us has a hockey game tonight on the road. Noobsy. So, just the one break today.
You guys are off right after the show. You're heading out.
Yeah, right? he's got to meet the Hounds in like 45 minutes. So, it's going to be a bit of a shorter show today, but that's okay. So, we're going to get right into Players of the Week. It was announced yesterday, but we're still going to talk about it. So, let's start with SGU MVP of the Week. And I just want to, before we, I guess, talk about it, worth mentioning these awards was from Monday to Sunday. This does not include yesterday's games. Before anybody complains.
Yesterday's games and next week's Player of the Week.
Bingo.
Got it.
Just before anybody potentially complains, because SGU MVP of the Week was also SaskTel Goalie of the Week, guys. And that was William Dyke of the Melville Millionaires, who had a great two games for Melville. Two starts, only allowed 2 goals. He was superb.
Yeah, can't really do more than that for Will Dyke. I mean, he plays behind a great team defensively, obviously. But you got to make the saves of the guys in front of you. I think he would need a little bit of a bounce back, and he got it. And obviously Melville won the right games, beating LaRange there twice. We gave him a bit of a pass in Weyburn. We know Doug Johnson won't, but we do. That's fine. But, Will's been a big piece of their success this year.
Yeah, for sure. So congratulations to William Dyke of the Melville Millionaires, SGU MVP of the Week, and also SaskTel Goalie of the Week. Let's move on to Borgo Forward of the Week. And, we talked about the Flin Flon Bombers, and obviously they won 2 out of 3 games this past week, but nobody had more points, Rory, than Alexi Silvestri. 4 goals, 4 assists, and even in that loss, that 8-6 loss to the Balfour's North Stars, he had a 5-point game.
Yep. And a stalwart on Team Rory. Yeah. On the fantasy team. So
yeah, we might as well just give you the award now. The trophy.
No, Noogsy's close. Noogsy's right behind me. So a performance of 8 points in 3 games for Silvestri. Thank you very much. He's dominant. How good was he in the playoffs last year, too?
So good.
I just can't wait to watch him in the playoffs this year. Big power forward, scores goals, does everything.
Yeah, and he got a Whitney Forum bounce again on Friday on that shorthanded goal for the game winner, too. It bounced right to him, and then he had a breakaway. I'm like, wait, how does Mike Reagan do the voodoo on this rink? I don't know what he does, but it's crazy.
The Whitney will always take it. Exactly. Yeah. It'll take care of them, for sure. So congratulations to Alexi Silvestri. Borgo Forward of the Week. And moving on to Super U Defenseman of the Week, I mean, we just talked to him, Noah Hoole, superb week, Noogsy, 2 goals, 4 assists,
another member of Team Rory.
another member of Team Rory. Another great week.
Yeah, he's a great passer of the puck. He breaks out the puck. He's good in his own zone. I don't think we give him enough credit for how good he is defensively, partly because the puck's on his tape all shift.
Yeah.
But, he's full value and just seems like a wonderful young man too. Yep. So good to see.
For sure. Congratulations, Noah. Super U Defenseman of the Week. He's won that a bunch this week. All right. Let's move on to Cantera Seed Saskatchewan Player of the Week. Rory, and coming from the Melfort Mustangs, they got blanked, actually, shut out by the Flin Flon Bombers earlier on in the week. But Clay Sliva, superb against Estevan and Weyburn as the Melfort Mustangs go down south to win a pair of games.
Yeah, the captain of the Yorkton Terriers goes over to the Melfort Mustangs. And you know the campaign in the Denver Broncos where it was like, let Russ cook, right? He didn't really do that. Yeah. It kind of fell apart. But it's Let Sliva Saute in Melfort over there. And they're just letting him play with so much passion, with speed, with puck possession. You know, carry it in yourself, right? We don't have to do his dump and chase. Man. Use your abilities. And they're letting Sliva Saute there in Melfort. And he's been exceptional coming over with that playoff. But you don't like that or what?
I was just wondering how long you were holding that joke in for. That was a good one.
25 seconds there.
Oh,
okay. It got into
you just thought it was
boiling over.
It was just beamed into his head.
I thought about it last night about 2:30, got to bed. Yeah. So congratulations, Clay Sliva, Cantera Seats, Saskatchewan Player of the Week. And last but certainly not least, changing up the order a little bit, Direct West Rookie of the Week, Noogsy, Luke Beadle of the Melville Millionaires. He has quietly climbed the leaders when it comes to rookies. He's second in rookie scoring now.
Yeah.
First in goals, too.
Yeah, he's a pure finisher. He's big. He can skate. To me, he was the number one snub at the SJMJ showcase because he's been awesome for Melville from start to finish. Even the first preseason game I saw him, Melville played Notre Dame, I was like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
Man, he has been dynamite. An 05, look, if you're a D1 program, he's an American kid too, can skate, he's learning to play the game the right way under Doug. What more do you want?
Yeah, you love when teams, when you think they're going to be maybe in a rebuild year,
right,
shock you. Yeah. And then look at who's leading this, right?
Yeah,
who is leading the charge? Mm-hmm. And it's guys that are hopefully going to be in the league for a few more years to come. Luke Beadle, Jaden Niogan, right? Of course, they still have Colby Ball, Caden Jury, a couple other sprinkles in. But these new guys coming in, love to see that.
And they've added some vets.
Yep.
They've added Mabin. Mm-hmm. They've added Mikesh. You know, they've added Carlson. You know, they've added Norris, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they got a good thing going in Melville, right?
Yeah, they got a great team for now and also a great core for the next couple of years in Melville. So congratulations to Luke. Direct West Rookie of the Week. And of course, you can read up about all of the players of the week for this past week on sjhl.ca. I sure hope the article's live by now. It's been a day. It was up yesterday, so it's up on sjhl.ca. All right. I guess technically the new week in the SJHL kicks off tonight, depending on how you want to look at it. It could have kicked off yesterday. I include yesterday's games in yesterday's weekend, but the new week kicks off tonight with one game on the docket as the Notre Dame Hounds, we alluded to it, Noogs, he's got to catch the bus here shortly, taking on the Yorkton Terriers, 6 points back of a playoff spot, 10 games remaining, as close to a must-win game as possible for the Yorkton Terriers here tonight. And then Wednesday's an off night, and then there's a couple of games on Thursday. Massive one at the EPA, Rory. Flint Fawn and Humboldt. That should be a lot of fun. And then Noogsy has another one for and another important game for the Nipawin Hawks, though, as the Hawks kick off three games in three nights in southern Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. When you look at this week, obviously, for the Notre Dame Hounds, you guys are busy for sure. But when you guys look at this week, we're down to 4 weeks left in the regular season. Obviously, last week we talked about it, how the week was important for the LaRonde Ice Wolves. They were playing 4 games in 5 nights on the road. Unfortunately, they only got one out of a possible 8 points. They're pretty much almost mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Unfortunately, Noogsy, the Notre Dame Hounds were mathematically eliminated from playoff contention yesterday. But this week ahead could not be more massive for both the Yorkton Terriers and the Nipawin Hawks. Both teams have 3 games and obviously kicks off tonight for the Yorkton Terriers.
Yeah, and you know, quickly from a Notre Dame perspective, I'll say that, you know, they've probably not been in the playoff picture for a bit now, but they've really showed up for every game anyways.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'll give them credit. I'll take, you know, yesterday, I'll throw it away into the garbage bin and say that it was an anomaly and hope that they continue to show up for that. But, yeah, do or die time for you in a Nipawin, and it's not getting easier. Weyburn's been good.
Yeah.
Melville's been good, et cetera, et cetera. So, looking forward to the week, and the Hounds hoping to play some spoiler.
Roy?
It's the week for Nipawin.
Yeah.
They got to get it done. It's Thursday, Notre Dame. It's Friday, Estevan. And then the biggest one, potentially, depending on what they do in the first two, is Saturday against Weyburn. So it's the week for Nipawin Hawks.
What do you think, 3 games in 3 nights, what do you think they need this week to stay in the mix?
Because
obviously these are three important games.
I mean, to stay in the mix, really, they need other teams to not go farther ahead, right?
Right.
I mean, you could lose these three. If Weyburn loses these three, then you're still 4 points behind 8th.
But sure.
You don't need to worry about 7th and 6th and 5th. Yes, you're in range,
but you need
one spot. You need to catch Weyburn. That's it. Do I think Nipawin needs to win all 3 games? I think they need to get as close as possible because 4 points Doesn't look like a lot right now, but with 10 games left, a couple games against each other, that can be daunting a week from now after this week. I'd say they need to win two. You got to win two games, I would say.
Well,
and maybe especially the last one against Weyburn.
And you know who they have to start March? They have each other. Yorkton and Nipawin
have each other
to start March. So, it's going to be some playoff-style hockey between Nipawin and Yorkton there. So it should be very interesting. You know, kind of outside of those two, Melville, could we have, we got some playoff preview potentially
potential
there.
Playoff preview.
Melford, they got Battleford's coming up this week, too. So it's a real measuring stick for Melville. I feel like every week is a measuring stick for Melville in some way. Like, we're always like, are they for real? We'll find out this week. And they always say, yeah, well, they're for real. We found out.
You still
and
then don't next get them, week, do you?
Hey, you know what?
They're good.
Good job, Melville.
They're good.
Hey, well, regardless,
it's going to be a very entertaining week in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Only 4 weeks left in the regular season. And if you want to stay up to date with everything in the SJHL, of course, follow all the social medias, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube right now. And if you haven't, it's subscribed. Just scroll over with the mouse and click subscribe. It's free. So that'll keep you up to date with everything in the SJHL. And of course, a big thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Of course, our presenting sponsors, UPL, all of our shows, Insider Weekly, Playoff Preview, you name it. Presented by our good friends at UPL. So a big thank you to UPL and, of course, all of our other great sponsors. Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Automall, Chevrolet, Great Western Nutrient, RBC Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGU, SGI. Thanks so much for your support. Without your support, these shows are not possible. New week kicks off tonight in the SJHL. It's the Notre Dame Hounds. It's the Yorkton Terriers, 7 o'clock. Puck drop for Westland Radio or Westland Arena. Noogsy, where can they listen to your broadcast?
Hounds Hockey Radio, NotreDameHounds.ca, or I'm sure Blake Friars will have the call on Flow Hockey.
Or you can listen, or you can watch the game on Flow Hockey. But lots of action for Jamie Neugebauer, for Rory McGoran. My name is Jeremy Corrigan. This has been another great edition of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platform.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.